This is Leo for KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio, and, well, it's just finally starting to get a little bit cold here in January of 2024 after one of the weirdest Decembers on record weather-wise, and that might have had you thinking about planting a garden. Well, not really, because it was not exactly warm, but it was certainly warm for December. It's still a little warmish for January, but cold front coming in this weekend. That's when you really start thinking about ordering seeds and about gardening for some reason in the deepest part of winter. Is that right, Jadel Cavillin? Do I have that right? It gets really cold and you start thinking about growing seeds?
Yeah, how can you not? We need some sunshine in our lives. So.
Yeah. Well, I was looking at, instead of a seed catalog, there's this other catalog that came to my house called The Ripple, which is telling people in the Lake Superior School District about the wonderful offerings that our community education program at Lake Superior School District has. Their winter catalog is in the Ripple. And I turned the pages past, I think, the adult weight room, restorative yoga, and taxes and my retirement. And there was a page that had 9 classes that were to be taught by Jadel Cavillin. What are you thinking, Jadel? Are you having fun with this? Or this sounds like you got a busy winter.
Yeah, well, I figured this way there is something for every northern gardener with any type of experience. There's so many different trends nowadays for gardening. There's lots of different ways to do it. And so why not dabble in a little bit of everything?
Sure. Yeah, and we can talk about what the range of the classes is. I just wanted the people to know that you've got some qualifications here. You're Lake County Extension Master Gardener, manager of Little Waldo Farm. You're a farmer's market seller, vendor, and you've been at this a while, and you have a great passion for exposing people to the virtues and the ecological considerations of our pollinator creatures. And that's part of what I know you're doing at least one pollinator awareness class. Two? Okay. What would those be, Jadel?
So the first one to be taught is on our native bees and the trees that they actually help pollinate around here. So we'll be talking about just the common species that people see other than our non-native honeybee. There's actually 20 different species of native bumblebees in the state of Minnesota, and there's all kinds of other native bees ranging from the size of a fingernail to the size of the bumblebees, the bigger buzzy bees. So we'll be talking about them and just the different plants that they help pollinate. They are actually more important in pollinating a lot of our native food crops than honeybees. And so it's really important that people understand what those plants are that they need, and that we keep an eye out for some of these species. Our state bumblebee is the rusty patch bumblebee, and that one is actually the first bee to be introduced on the endangered species list. So if people are lucky enough to sight them, there's actually funding available to help establish habitat on private properties and residentials and such. So So that class will be talking a lot about that. And then I'm also teaching a native plants class that focuses on pollinators and native wildlife habitats. So native plants are really, really important. And nowadays, especially with what we're facing in the different situations with our weather, native plants can really help buffer a lot of our extreme weather. So
I was going to ask you about if you learn in one class about our native pollinators and how they're endangered and need help, and the native plant course will maybe answer my question about whether you're going to show people what they can do to help foster those native pollinators. It sounds like they go kind of hand in hand. I don't know if people have to. I would just say maybe you want to register for both.
Yeah, I think either way, you're going to get some of the same points. The native pollinator or the native plants with focus on native pollinator and wildlife habitat is going to be a little more in depth as far as just focusing on bringing those creatures into your ecosystems, where the native bees one is going to focus more on just what to watch for and also some of the plants that you can plant to kind of help provide habitat for them.
in order to really recruit people to pursue any of these classes, I should point out that folks can go to www.isd381.k12.mn.us, or you could just Google it, ISD 381 Community Ed. And anyway, you'll get yourself on the homepage at ISD 381's website. The Community Ed dropdown will have the class catalog listed as the Ripple. Just click on the Ripple. That's the name of the newsletter for the Community Ed. And you've got a class coming up a week from Wednesday, January 17th. Is that the which of that's one of the pollinator courses, I believe?
Actually, that one is my. I'm also doing some beekeeping classes, so that the intro to beekeeping starts actually tomorrow night, Wednesday night, and then the intro to beekeeping 2 is on the 17th. But the following Wednesday, which I think is the 24th, right?
That
one is our winter sowing course. And so if people aren't familiar with winter sowing, it's actually a garden technique that's pretty low maintenance compared to a lot of the home seed starting processes, needing light and heat mats and all kinds of other fun things. But this is a way to kind of let the environment wake your seeds up for you. And it works especially well for a lot of our native seeds or native plants. If you have seed collected, I'll be providing materials for that, as well as there's some cooler loving vegetable crops that you can winter sow that way as well. And so you actually are utilizing some different types of plastic containers, and you actually leave them outside after you get them in, after you get the seeds into the soil media in these containers, and they'll let you know when it's time to start sprouting.
Wow. So you have a class actually coming up on Wednesday, January 10th. I missed that one. So remind me again, that is your beekeeping.
Yeah, introduction to honey beekeeping. So if anybody is interested, yeah, they can still register through tomorrow evening or just show up and we can get you set up at that situation too. It's in the community room at the Two Harbors High School. So
fantastic. I suppose people technically need to be properly signed up. So I just encourage them, if they're going to show up tomorrow, that they check out on the ISD 381 website, getting their name in the mix. I don't know if
you can register that night. Sorry, Leo. Yeah, you can also register from the Little Waldo Farm website as well, and that's just littlewaldofarm.com.
littlewaldofarm.com. Perfect. Great. Not going to be necessarily want to cover the gamut of the name of every class and when it's running, but I think people should check that out, and you've already talked about the beekeeping, native pollinators, or native endangered bees. We've got the winter sowing, as you pointed out. You want to talk a little bit more about, in general, we started off saying that this is the time we're hankering to buy seeds and make our garden plans. I know when people are looking at the kinds of seeds that are available these days, depending upon what kind of gardening they're doing, they may be looking at seed catalogs that have terms like heirlooms, open pollinated varieties, hybrids. How do you describe the distinction between those categories and what benefit a buyer might get from trying out any of these particular types of plants, just clarifying what those types of seeds mean?
Yeah, anything that says heirloom is going to be a seed that might cause a little more of a challenge for a first-time seed starter, just because those seeds haven't been cultivated to be resistant to some of our more common diseases. For instance, like tomato blight on some of your tomato seeds. So if you're buying an heirloom, a seed packet of tomato seeds, just be aware that even though those varieties are usually very tasteful and interesting to grow, they might be a challenge when it comes to some of the more common diseases we see with some of our plants. If you're looking for non-GMO, or if you're worried about the genetically modified seeds, most of the seed packets that you're going to find, especially from catalogs are certainly going to list if they have been treated or if they're any sort of genetic modifications. They're going to list any of that stuff for you in the catalog. But if you're just purchasing seed packets at any of the grocery stores or hardware stores or big box stores, most all of those seeds are perfectly fine to grow. There's not going to be very many at all that you'll find that are considered genetically modified. A lot of times it's a labeling gimmick. If they put non-GMO on it, it's just trying to get your attention more than anything.
But there is an interesting distinction, because a number of people are a little bit confused when they see the term F1 hybrid. You know, a hybrid seed is simply a form of selection controlling the pollination between two varieties, and those seeds, as I understand it, won't, if those seeds are saved from the plant that they produce, they will not breed true in the second generation. And that's not the same as a genetically modified organism at all.
Right, exactly. Yes. And when you're looking for looking at hybrid varieties, a lot of times plants or seeds are produced as hybrids to be resistant to some of the common diseases and pests that we face as gardeners. So a lot of times you'll see on tomato seed packets, again, for instance, it'll say F1 hybrid, and then there'll be two initials in parentheses, such as V or F. And that's just simply trying to alert you to the fact that that particular cultivar of tomatoes is resistant to fusarium rot or one of the blights. So usually hybrids, that's why hybrids are produced. Otherwise, they are hybrid for, say, aesthetic pleasure. They have double flower petals versus single flower petals,
sure,
or something like that.
Or in the vegetable world, they could have a certain color, flavor, something unique to the market.
Yes.
But the main thing is if you think that you want to save seeds of plants that you have success growing, you just can't do it with a hybrid. No matter how hard you try, you're just going to have to keep buying the hybrid seed the following year if you liked what you got.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it's best to do that. If you're looking to save your own seeds, especially from vegetables or certain types of garden flowers, you definitely want to be aware of whether they're open pollinated or if they're self-pollinating, and that will be the distinction. There's all kinds of people that like to experiment in the gardening world, and certainly there's ways to save your particular hottest pepper without it being cross-pollinated with other peppers you grow, but it's a little bit more for, an intermediate gardener experience.
Yeah, once you start having to isolate your planting bed and make sure it's not being pollinated by a completely different pepper, say, then because that will really disappoint your outcome when you grow it the next year. It's a little more detail intensive. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're speaking today with Jadel Kavlin about winter gardening dreams and the realities and 9 different courses that Jadel is helping to teach in the Lake Superior School District. These are classes all held at Two Harbors High School, Jadel?
Yep, they sure are. Most of them will be held in the community room, though a couple of them I'm scheduled in their home economics room. We'll be doing some seed starting and such, and that gets a little messy. So.
Well, great. I had all kinds of interesting questions prepared to kind of probe about, you know, when it comes to that time later in the winter when if you need to start a plant inside and the length of time you need to plan, the kind of growing medium, and so forth and so on, Jadel. But it sounds like I should catch you again maybe in late February, early March to talk about that, because we're just flat out running out of time today, and it sounds like you might be covering some of those subjects anyway in some of your classes.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to chat again, Leo.
Great, because now that solstice is out of the way and we're heading towards equinox, that light is just going to become more and more hypnotic. Like, it's time to start thinking seriously about putting a seed in a growing medium. That's going to happen soon enough. I have to learn more about this winter seed starting that you're talking about, so maybe I need to take the class.
Oh, come and do it, Leo. It's a great way to seed start with, like I said, less maintenance.
Boy, I think a lot of us could, because that was another set of questions I had about how you can reduce the amount of time you're going to have to dedicate. If your eyes get bigger than your ability to tend your garden, what do you do to try to cut down on the amount of time it takes to weed, water, and watch them grow? But again, we can talk about that in upcoming episodes. I'll touch base with you a couple times this growing season, okay?
That would be great, Leo.
Excellent. Thanks for joining us, Jadel. I appreciate it a lot.
Thanks for having me, Leo.
Good luck with this bevy of courses you got going this month. People should take advantage of it. They've got a really knowledgeable source of information. And there won't be a test, will there?
Your test will be all about your successful gardens coming summer.
The proof will be in the pudding, so to speak. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. Great, Jadel. Thanks for visiting with us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Will.
Bye now. That was Jadel Kavlin, Extension Master Gardener in Lake County, and she is the owner-operator of Little Waldo Farm, located just outside of Two Harbors, Minnesota. This is Leo for KTWH.